This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
And other people, they struggle. They look, they don't have anything. And Allah gives us all of these amazing things. Two types of butt, right? Five meat dishes. 10 fish dishes. Ni'mah. Talk about the ni'mah. They get a, you know, you buy a new jacket, thank Allah. They get a new toy, thank Allah. You know, we have to thank Allah. Allah gives us toys. Everything is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because He's the one who gives it. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala al-mab'uthi rahmatan lil alameen, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi, wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathirun ila yawmi al-deen, amma ba'd. قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا صدق الله العظيم. So my dear brothers and dear sisters, dear listeners, dear friends, as our brother said, this is a very difficult subject but very important subject, and in the short time that we have, we can't cover every single aspect of bringing up children. It's such a huge subject. So what I'm going to do is, inshallah, for the next 30-40 minutes, I will discuss some major aspects to just get us to think about some of these things. And then we'll open it up to questions. We can't cover everything, so we'll let you ask your question. So if you have questions in your mind and I don't deal with it in the first 40 minutes or so, then inshallah you can ask questions and we'll try to discuss them and answer them. If I don't know the answer, I'll say I don't know the answer. Okay? It's going to be a bit difficult because, mashallah, we have elders here. We have middle-aged people here. We have young adults here. And we have children here. Why is that complicated? Because I have to make sure the way I speak is relevant to all four of these categories of people. I'm not calling you old or young. You can decide whether you're in the old category or the young category. I'm not judging you. I'll leave that to you. Okay? But my job is difficult because we got children sitting here and I have to make sure they don't fall asleep. Allah help us. Okay. So firstly, they've done lots of studies on what's the best way to bring up children. They've done studies, scientists have looked at this. And they've discovered that there is no one way. There is no one effective way that you can give everybody and say, this is the way to do it. There's no one way to do it. However, in our deen, and just generally, there are some major principles that if we go by, it will, inshallah, make it easy for us to bring up our children, because it's a big, big responsibility. Firstly, I want to discuss the source from where our children learn something. So, what's your name?
Qais.
And this guy, this little kid here?
Nah.
What's his name?
Ayan.
What's your name?
Ayan.
You have a name? What's it? What is it? Ayan. And what's your name, Mr. Black? Yeah.
Ilham.
And what's your name, Mr. Blue? Abdullah. So Ilham, Ayan and Abdullah. They're what, 7, 8, 9 years old? Yeah? Oh, he's 11 now, mashallah. And you are? You're 13, man. Yeah, subhanAllah. And you? You're 9. He's 8, mashallah. And he is 7. He's 6. So now what we have to understand is that where do they learn everything from? All of us, when we were growing up, as children, where do we learn things from? What are the places we learn from? Tell me. What are the sources of knowledge for children? Where do they learn everything they know from? Yes. One is school. Okay. One is school. The basic ones first. One is school. What else?
Parents.
Parents, home environment. So there's two things. One is home environment, from the house, from the home. Number two, from school, madrasa, educational environments. Right, so that's number two, educational environment. That's where they learn something from. That's two. Where else do they learn? Traditionally, historically, for all the centuries, where else did students used to learn, children used to learn from?
From history.
Yeah, no, that's studying. That comes in school. What else?
Society.
Mashallah, society. Because you go outside of your house, you're not in school yet, you're going to learn from your neighbors, you're going to learn from when you go shopping, you're going to learn from what you see around you, what you hear around you, this is stuff you hear. There were three places. For all the older people here, we only have three places. We either learned everything, Imam Sahib, everything when he was a child, when he learned from, when I learned from, and what you learned from, was from either the school or madrasa, it was from the house, or number three, it was from outside society, in the park, wherever, if you were playing with friends or whatever. MashaAllah, the new generation, they have a fourth source to learn from, which we older people did not have. They're so lucky. Where is that?
Life.
Definitely learn from life. What's the fourth one? Technology, mobile, social media, internet. We didn't have internet when you were young, right? That means we're stupid. We don't have it. This is the new ones have it, mashallah. Such an important source. None of us had it when we were old. Ya Allah. Okay, out of the four sources now, which is the most important one? What do you think? Mashallah. My apologies if I ask you too many questions. Maybe this is the first time a bayan guy is asking you questions. But otherwise, I fall asleep, you fall asleep. So this way we stay awake, right? So that's why I'm going to ask you questions. I know it's Saturday night, but I'm going to ask you questions. You're here in the masjid, inshallah, Allah make this useful. So the home environment, the most important one. Why is the home environment the most important one? Because that's the only one we have control over. You don't have control over the school or madrasa. You have some idea, but you don't have full control. You definitely don't have control over the society. If our children were being brought up in 100% Islamic society, life would have been a lot more easier. Because there would still be greed and jealousy and personal human issues. But at least everybody would know that it's important to pray, eat halal. You know, everybody would know that life would have been easier. Okay? However, now there's various different ideologies, people think so differently, there's so many fitnas, there's so many temptations and challenges. So now, the only environment we can control is the home environment. Which means that the home environment has to be where everything happens. Because that's the only one we can control. Inshallah, if you find a good madrasa, and there's a good maktab and madrasa, alhamdulillah, that helps. But still, I as a parent, I am responsible. If I can't find a good teacher for my children, or I can't blame the Mawlana in the masjid, in front of Allah, I am responsible. I should find a better Mawlana. I can't blame the Mawlana or the masjid. Yeah, they should do a good job. They should do. But me as a parent, it's my responsibility to do the best for my children. Our home environment needs to be very, very good. What do I mean by that? It can't be too strict that children don't want to be there. And it can't be so open that everything happens, no problem, it's all okay. We have to be balanced at home. How do you be balanced at home? So I'm going to give a few ideas. Number one, the home environment, the mahol at home, as we say, right, has to be an open one. Which means that anything that our children want to discuss, they should be able to discuss at home. With either both parents or at least one parent. Which means that either both mother and father need to be so open that they will allow the children to discuss anything. Why? Because we can't control the other environments. They will pick up things there. They will learn things from there. At home, they must be able to filter it. We must be able to tell them, yeah, you learn this? No, that's not right. We don't do this. This is against our values. No, that's a very good idea. That was good. This is bad. We have to be able to do this. Because we can't help what our children learn outside. I'll give you an example. In many schools, they teach children sex education classes. Okay? many Muslims will keep the children away from that and say, okay, I don't want my children to take part in that. So they will let them stay at home or sit in another class or library. So they won't take part in that class. The next day they go to school. What happens is that their friends who have been, their classmates who have been to that class will tell them everything with masala. Okay, along with some masala. Do you know what masala is? My dear brother with the black jacket, do you know what masala is?
What is that?
You don't know what masala is?
No.
Ya Allah. Ya. Do you know what biryani is? Yeah? Masala is spices. Where are you from? Where, which country are you from?
West Africa.
West Africa, where?
Gambia.
You're from Gambia?
Yeah.
Do they have spices there?
Very well.
Yeah. So that's masala. So it's like, you know when you tell somebody a story with and you add spice to it?
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Their friends will tell them everything they heard along with spices.
Right.
So, you know, it is so difficult to... A lot of parents think their children are very innocent. But nowadays, younger children are finding out about things. Especially if they have older brothers and older sisters. And they're on social media. Allahu Akbar, Allah preserve, Allah protect. Right? That's why the home environment needs to be very open. So, for example, in my house, the children, they can come and they can discuss homosexuality. It's not a taboo subject because it's outside, it's open. So why can't they discuss it at home and we tell them, look, this is good, this is bad. And, you know, you have to be open. Gender fluidity. All of these kind of discussions, they can happen at home, no problem. In fact, our job is to actually find out what our children are discussing. Now, we have two types of children. Okay, we have two types of children. One are those children who are very transparent. They will say everything as it is. They will tell you their whole story, what happened in the day. Right? You get them, you ask them a question, they said, yeah, this is what happened, my friend said this and this. Then there's some other children. You ask them, how was school? Good. How's it going? Okay. Why did you do that? Cause. What does that mean? Why did you do that? Cause. Come on. They're blank face. They don't say anything. You don't know what's going on in their minds. Those children are more tougher. Because, God forbid, Allah forbid, but I've, in the last 3 years, I've dealt with a few cases of 16, 17 year olds, mostly girls, but boys as well, and they've lost their faith or they've done something crazy. I asked their parent, didn't you know it was happening? No, until last week she was wearing hijab. She's very quiet. She doesn't say anything. How do you deal with that? How do you deal? Those are the more difficult children to deal with. So what should we do? If the children don't share anything themselves, why don't they share anything? Maybe because we don't give them the time to share. Maybe we don't listen carefully. Maybe we don't engage with them properly. Or maybe they're just very close, psychologically closed children. So what? How do we deal with that? When we're having dinner, you should always have dinner together. Some of you may be thinking we always do. But subhanAllah, there's a guy who's now 30 something years old. And he told me that in my family, we never had dinner together. So what do you mean? He said, my mom used to cook a big pot of food and leave it there. My dad comes and eats when she eats, the children eat whenever they want. It's like a restaurant.
Yeah.
SubhanAllah. You know, you should sit together and have a conversation. You should say, how are your friends doing? Do any of your friends smoke? Do any of your friends, have you seen any of them smoke? Yeah. There are some who smoke. Yeah. Have you ever tried it? Why not? Huh? The Muslims smoke, unfortunately. Have they ever tried to make you smoke? Like, offered you, like, try it out? Yeah, what did you say? You said, no, mashallah, Allah give you strength. We have to ask these kind of questions in a very nice, casual, friendly way. You understand? And then you'll be surprised. Do kids in your school have girlfriends? Yeah. Right? What about him? Oh, he's probably too young, but you understand this, what the age relevant, you know, age appropriate, we ask these questions and then we have a discussion about whether something is good or bad. Because they need support, they need to understand things. Imagine a 14-year-old children, all the friends, they all have girlfriends and he doesn't. That's tough. That's very tough. I've been in that situation. We have to be honest with ourselves. Somebody needs to talk to them about that and help them and assist them, because if they don't have that support, they're going to just, shaitan is going to obviously convince them to do something else. So these are standard things that teenagers go through. And lots of other stuff, right? This is the kind of, I was talking to a person I know in another country, and he said that COVID was a bit difficult, but he said before COVID, my older children, I used to invite their friends over. That's another way. We have to know who our children's friends are. They have a huge impact on our children. You don't even know your children's friends. You don't know who they are? We need to know who they are. How do you get to know? You ask, who are your friends? Oh, it's this guy and that guy. How is he? Oh, he's a good guy. How do you know them? Now, if you know the family, it's okay. But if you don't know the family, what do you do? So one idea is, hey, Ayan, was it Ayan? Who is Ayan? That's Ayan. What's your name? Mr. Ilham. Why don't you call your friends over? This Saturday afternoon, we'll have some. I'm calling his friends over. Who's his dad? Is your dad here? No, okay. But anyway, I'm calling your friends over. You know, so you call over the friends and say, bring your friends over. You know, we can make some snacks and then you guys can play together. Then you check out the friends, talk to them. And then you can advise accordingly. So what this guy tells me, his children are older. He said, my children's friends, they're all over 20 now. He said, now when I meet them, they thank me. For what? He said that they did not have anybody who was a mentor in their life. They had parents, but the parents were not mentors. Mentor means somebody who guides them very specifically. Sometimes parents can be mentors, but sometimes because of the relationship, they can't be mentors or they don't try to be mentors. Their parents were not mentors. But when they used to come to his house to play with his children, he used to speak to them and guide them and say, look, you need to be do something useful in life, otherwise this will happen. He said they would tell him that, you know, you benefited us a lot. That's why we are where we are today. They were lucky to have a mentor, right? Because their parents were not mentors. We have to become mentors for our children. So that is to filter out. So we discuss things with them and you tell them, look, no. Okay, the next point is every family should have a set of values that are known as our family values, right? They're Islamic values, but our family values. La ilaha illallah. For example, if I'm telling my kid that you're not allowed to vape, are you allowed to vape? Right, you're not allowed to vape. Why? Because Muslims don't vape. Mangeras don't vape. Chaudhrys, anybody Chaudhry here? No Chaudhrys here? Chaudhry, no? Okay, any Islam here? You must have an Islam here. Okay, there you go. Islams don't vape. That's what we tell our children. Do Islams vape? They better not, right? Uddeens. Any Uddeens here? MashaAllah, there you go. Where are you guys from? Hobigon, Joganothpur, Gulavganj, Biani Bazaar, Bishwanath. Where are you from, man? You're from Gulavganj, from Roseville. I call it Roseville. That's the English name for it. You didn't know that, did you?
No, I knew.
Oh, you didn't know that.
It's a nickname they call it.
Alhamdulillah. So we need to teach them that this is our family values. When somebody comes to our house, they don't go without eating. We're going to offer them food. That's our family value. Unfortunately, a lot of this is being lost today. Family values are being lost, unfortunately. Alhamdulillah, some cultures, they're maintaining it. But a lot of family values are being lost. You know, before, if my child was three streets away, the parents there would have looked after my child just like I would have. If he saw them, if they saw them doing something wrong, they would tell them off just like I would do. Today, nobody wants to tell anybody else's child off because the parents go and fight with them, right? It's becoming very individualized. In fact, what we're seeing now is we're seeing many children who don't even think like their parents. There's parents who have businesses, tough businesses. The children don't want to carry on that business unless it's one of those businesses which are doing very well and you just have to sit and collect the money and spend it. Then it's all right. Then I'll take that business. But if it's a tough business, they want to do something else. It's so difficult to get parents and children to even think alike because we live in an individualized world, individualism, right? So the tribal mentality is going. So we have to send our children values. For example, if somebody came to my house and I wasn't there, and if my children did not offer them tea, I would get really angry. I said, no, that's our value. We offer them tea. They don't want to have it, that's fine. But at least we offer it to them. Another thing is that even when our children get older, we need to do tarbiyah. Even when our children become teenagers, for example, let's just say somebody comes to your house when you're not there as an adult. How will your children welcome them at the door? Open the door. Yes. You understand what I'm saying? He said, Salaamu Alaikum, uncle. How are you? I'm really sorry my parents are not, or my father's not there. Can I give him a message? Is there anything I can do for you? Some children are talkative, they can do, but most children are not talkative. They don't even know what to say because nobody's taught them how to say it. We're not treating them like adults. Sometimes with our children, we still treat them like children even when they grow up. So, for example, you know when they're children, we have special words for them. We have special words like, how do you say milk to a little child in your language? Dudu, right? Good, mashallah, jazakallah, dudu. Would you say that to an adult dudu pilo? You wouldn't, right? Now, how long are you going to say dudu to your son? You understand? Eventually, you have to grow up. And you start treating them like adults. You take them seriously. You ask them for their opinion on something. Just to make them feel responsible. I've seen with some children, if you treat them like children, 15, 16, they will stay like children. And then after that, one day you say, you know what? I'm not going to tell you anymore. I'm not going to wake you up anymore. You have to wake up yourself. I'm not going to force you out of bed to go to school. I'm going to let you wake up, let you get a few lates. You have to learn to do it, right? Sometimes empowering them, letting them do it, it works because then they feel responsible. Okay, so as I was saying, going back to the home environment, it has to be an open environment. So anything can be discussed. And we also bring up subjects to discuss. Number two was we teach them values. Number three, the home environment can't be suffocating. Can't be claustrophobic. It has to be a place where the children enjoy being. What do I mean by that? If we have a child would like to be always outside the house with their friends and never inside the house with the family, then that's a problem. Why? Because the house must be so boring and so messed up and so lifeless that they just want to be out with their friends. On the other hand, if you have a child who always wants to be home, never wants to do anything else, but at home he doesn't want to be with the family, he wants to be in their room on a device with the door closed, that's a problem as well. Anybody like that? Any of the children like that? Like to be in another room, on their device, iPad, nobody else. You like to be like that? That's not a good thing to be like that. Sometimes it's all right. Sometimes it's okay. Yes. Right? So, it needs to be somewhere where the children feel comfortable. Do you know the benefit of a comfortable environment at home? Is that they will get into less issues outside. I'll give you an example. They did a study. You can see this on YouTube. They did a study of 14-year-olds in the local park. So they had like 5, 6, 14-year-olds. And some one of them was put there to say to the others, to get one of them to say, here's a spray can. Right? Imagine somebody gave you a spray can and said, go and do some graffiti on that guy's car or that guy's house. Would you do it? Do you know what graffiti is? How do you know what graffiti is? Have you ever done some? Are you good at it? No. Okay. So, go and do some graffiti on that car. Would you do it? But these are your friends. And they're telling you, you have to do this. Come on, come on, come on. Would you do it? No. Then they call you chicken. You're a chicken if you don't do it. Come on, you're a chicken if you don't do it. Would you do it? Then they say, we're not going to be your friends anymore. If you don't do it, would you do it? It's very easy to say right now, but in that situation, saying, now, how does a child make a decision? They say that the children who didn't do it were those who walked away. Like, no, I'm not doing it. They walk. They realized the pressure was so high that if I stay here, I'm probably going to do it. Let me go away. But what gives them the courage to walk away is what's important here. What gave them the courage to walk away was this. Because what's going on in your mind is, these are my friends. These are people I want to be with. If I don't do this, they're not going to be my friends. They're going to mock me. Now, why do you need those friends? Because you don't have a safe place to go to. A child is going to make a decision. I need these friends or I don't. They're doing something bad now. Do I need them? If I've got a comfortable place at home to go to, welcoming parents, you know, that are, mashallah, he can walk away. I don't care about these friends. I'll make some new ones, but at least I've got a comfortable refuge at home. If you don't have that, then they want to be with their friends, then they're willing to do whatever there is. As our children, since we have children here, be very careful if after school or somewhere, somebody wants to buy you free chicken and chips. You have to be very careful. Not from your close friends, but kind of strangers. Why? Because what they do is they buy you chicken and chips for a few days and then they say you need to pay back. You don't have that kind of money. So then what they do is they make them carry drugs. That, okay, I want you to deliver this package to so-and-so so that you can pay off. And then after that, they blackmail you to say that yesterday you carried drugs and we're going to report you if you don't. And then you just get into that whole thing. Allah protect us. Right? So that's why having this environment at home is very important. One woman, she called me and she said that my children, they were doing hifz of the Quran, saying that my children are saying that when we finish, we want to have a party. No, finish hifz party. So what shall I tell them? I said, what's wrong with it? She actually said that, yeah, my brother's family or sister's family, they're alim and alima, they do it, so these guys want to do it as well. What should I say to them? So I was thinking, what's wrong with that? Right? I found out she's thinking it's a bad thing. I said, what's the issue with it? She said, I think she was like, it's not sunnah or something like that. I don't know. I said, do you have the money to do it? She said, yeah, we have the money. Because if you don't have the money for something, then I can understand. But she was trying to tell them, we don't do that kind of stuff. I think I had to kind of tell her off a bit in a nice way that these are things we need to celebrate. Otherwise, outside, there's Christmas celebrations, there's Mother's Day celebrations, Valentine's celebrations, and I don't know what other celebrations. There are loads and loads of celebrations. And you can't even celebrate Hifz of the Quran. You should be feeding the whole of town if you had the money. That's so important, isn't it? Some people are very dry. They're very dry. You can't be dry with our children, because with our children, it's an ongoing battle. Okay, another thing. As your children get older, the battles will get more complicated. But one thing you have to realize, you can't win every battle. You can't win every battle. For example, when do you give a mobile phone to your children? At what age? Anybody have a suggestion?
After 18.
After 18, mashallah, amazing. Amazing, amazing. If only that would work. So, mashallah, you know, unfortunately, some children, they could be okay with that. Very few children, like small percentage. There's one person never gave his daughter a phone until she's 16. Actually, no, he didn't give her a phone. When she became around 16, they found out that she actually had a phone, secretly. Later, it's like, why? He said, all my friends have a phone. You're feeling left out. It's a tough one. It's a very tough one. Alhamdulillah, with another child of theirs, they were able to push it until 16. Then he had to go to a further school, so they had to give him a phone. And then he gets addicted. Phones are very addictive things. Sometimes they're not going to listen to parents about how bad addiction these things are. They just think you hate them. You don't want them to play. No, you just don't want us to play. No, no, we don't mind you playing, but not for 10 hours a day. So sometimes what you have to do is, Allah, just do dua to Allah. This is a very, I don't even have an answer of the most successful way to do this. We have suggestions. Hopefully with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will work. But sometimes what I do is I go onto YouTube and there's a lecture by somebody, psychologist, explaining the problem with addiction. I say, look, don't believe me. Look, this is somebody else saying this. Right? The problem is that Mr. Bean is too attractive. So that's a very, very difficult one. But what I'm saying is that our relationship as the children grow up, especially when they're teenagers, is like how Muawiyah radiallahu anhu mentioned his relationship was with the people. He said, our relationship is like a tug of war, but not with a rope, with a piece of strand of hair. If I pull too much, it will break. If they pull too much and I don't let go, it will break. It's a give and take. That's why in the situation we're living in, illa mashaAllah, it's very difficult to win every single battle. That's why don't pick every single battle. Pick the most important battles and let some things go. Unless, you know, you are tawfiq and, you know, mashaAllah, it works for you. Right? So these are some of the points. Now, the last point, or second to last point I want to mention, is that, look, I found one way, I didn't find it, it's obvious, to help our children, because we can't supervise our children 24 hours a day. We can't. How do we get some help? The best way to get help is get them connected to Allah. If we get them connected to Allah, they develop Allah's consciousness, then they won't do things for us, they'll do it for Allah. They'll still make mistakes, we all make mistakes. But that will make half of our job easier. Half of our job easier. What do I mean by that? How do we test that? The way we test it is that if we're very particular about salat with our children, and they already always pray with us, now they're 14, 15 years old and we're out somewhere. Our children are alone or with somebody else. The simple test is, do they pray? Will they pray even if we're not there? Even if they pray late, alhamdulillah, do they pray? If they prayed, even if we're not there to supervise them, it means they're praying for Allah. If they don't pray, then they're probably praying for us. We better change this quickly that they have to pray for Allah. Allah has to be in their life. I'll give you a few examples, right? My wife used to teach, I was imam in America for 8 years. Small community. I used to teach the over 10-year-olds. My wife used to teach the under 10s. So once we had these two new students from a Muslim family, but they sent their children to madrasa late. They never went to madrasa before, right? They were 7 and 8 years old. I think 7 or 8 or 8 or 9. I can't remember exactly, 7 or 8 or 8 or 9. Right? My wife was teaching them about Allah. She was describing Allah. Allah is the greatest. Allah is the most powerful. Nobody can stand in front of Allah. He can do whatever he wants. Suddenly, one of the children, they suddenly shouted out, Power Rangers. Uncle, do you know what Power Rangers is? Just joking. You don't need to. Power Rangers is this, what they make up as these individuals, you know, like if you know what that means. Right? Why did he say Power Rangers? Because in his mind, the greatest thing out there, the most powerful entity, was Power Rangers. So when he was listening to the description of Allah, he thought Power Rangers. Can you believe that? He thought Power Rangers. Why? Because Allah is not being discussed in their family. Poor kids don't know about Allah. I mean, they were Arab families, so they were using the word Jazakallah, Alhamdulillah, whatever, but there was no concept. How do you teach them about Allah? Simple. We have to learn about Allah. We have to start thinking about Allah. We have to start speaking about Allah. And they will pick it up. For example, there was a friend of mine from New York, Bangla Bhai. His dad died. So he wrote something about his father. He sent it to me and I read it. I was like, SubhanAllah. He said that my father from a young age, if there was anything that he couldn't do for us, for example, you got a pain, the parents can't solve all the pains, can we? Anytime there was something like this that they could not solve, they said, look, I can't solve this, but you know, Allah can, so ask him. That would be the constant. And he said that helped us a lot, that we got connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I give you another example. There was a family, they went to the ocean, the Pacific Ocean, with their child who's maybe 2-3 years old. And when you get to the ocean, there was a huge amount of waves, big, massive waves coming, you know. Nobody said anything to the child. But this child, 2-3, maybe 4 years old, he suddenly said, Allah created this. Now imagine the story of the Power Rangers, who's double the age, and this is a younger kid, 3-4 years old, and he's saying, Allah created this without anybody asking him. Why? Because I know that kid, since young age, his mother has been reading to him stories of the Sahaba, stories of the Prophet ﷺ, and connecting them with Allah. They recognize if this is so great, this is so powerful, no man can create this, only Allah can. Allah wants us to do is by saying Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar in the ear, right from the beginning. You know, the first words are Allah, the last words are Allah. You know, La ilaha illallah dakhal al jannah, man qala La ilaha illallah dakhal al jannah. You know, whoever says before his death, right? Allah has to be discussed in a glorified way, right? Not like Allah's going to punish you all the time. Yes, Allah does punish, but if that's the only place we talk, like Allah's going to punish you, that's the only, then it means Allah's just a punisher. Allah is a lot more than a punisher. Rahman, Rahim, what about all of that? So I give you one more story. There's a girl who's 8 years old. Is anybody 8 years? How old are you again?
He's six.
And he is? 8 years old. Okay, good. What's your name? Abdullah. So there was a girl who's 8 years old. He had an older brother who's maybe 10 years old. So this older brother, they sent him for an eye test from school. They sent him eye test, right? So he needed glasses. They said he needed glasses. So his sister started making fun of him. You're going to have glasses. You're going to have glasses. Can you imagine that? Right? So keep with the story. He started saying that you're going to have glasses. Started making fun. So the mother said to the daughter, stop making fun of your brother about glasses, because your dad has glasses, your mom has glasses, your older brother has glasses now. You're probably going to get glasses as well, because it runs in the family, it's genetic, whatever, right? So she shut up. She became silent. Now, after 10 years, she has 2 more younger siblings. How old is she after 10 years?
18.
How old is she after 10 years? How old are you going to be after 10 years? Good. MashaAllah. Right, I'm keeping the children entertained, so that's important. It's a very tough job. So she's 18 years old. Now, her younger ones, they also need glasses. Father, mother, older brother, younger ones, they all need glasses. Should she have glasses as well? It runs in the family, it seems. She doesn't have glasses. Do you know why? 10 years later, when she's 18, she said, "Mom, do you remember when you told me that you're going to get glasses as well? Meaning I'm going to need glasses as well. I started praying to Allah that I don't want glasses, Ya Allah. I don't want glasses, Allah." And Allah worked. Now, the question is that why did she pray to Allah? Yes, at that point, the mother should have said, just make dua to Allah. She didn't. She was just maybe frustrated and just said, you know. But clearly the parents had taught her that Allah say, sab kuch hota hai. You know, Allah is the one who does everything. So she must have thought in her little mind, I don't want glasses. Who am I going to? Allah. Ya Allah, I don't want glasses. Now the iman, right, of such a person, because Allah has worked. And Allah works, by the way, if you use, you know, the right ways to do it. You understand what I'm saying? Allah is there to give you whatever you want. Did you guys know that? Allah is there to give you whatever you want. Try it out. You can only do this if you reinforce the concept of Allah at home. Very important. We have to get our children connected to Allah, otherwise our job is much more tough. How can we get our children connected to Allah? Speak about Allah in an organic way. When we're having food, for example, mashallah, look what Allah gives us. Amazing sitol mas, ilish, boal mas. And other people, they struggle, they don't have anything, and Allah gives us all of these amazing things. Two types of bat, right? 5 meat dishes, 10 fish dishes. Ni'mah, talk about the ni'mah. They get you buy a new jacket, thank Allah. They get a new toy, thank Allah. You know, we have to thank Allah. Allah gives us toys. Everything is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because He's the one who gives it. The children will organically pick this up that everything is from Allah. So we have to start being grateful to Allah genuinely to really let this come out with a passion. And inshallah, they will pick this up. So connect ourselves to Allah, talk about Allah, and mashallah. There's a last point, there's a sister, she did a PhD thesis on how to bring Allah into teaching. She's from a Muslim country, so she is saying that every 10 minutes, the teacher should speak about, I'll take Allah's name. Obviously, this is for a Muslim school where you're talking about science. Subhanallah, look what Allah did. You know, Subhanallah, you know, or Alhamdulillah. Just bring Allah's name in, so then Allah, Allah, Allah is there, you know, for everyone. Because Allah is there to assist and Allah is there to help. It's just we're not using Him. Okay, let me stop here. Because I can go on all night. Let me stop here. If there's any questions you guys have, then we can do that. Then I'm going to go and have some fish after this. Inshallah. So just to repeat the question, you try to do your best. And mashallah, you've given good tarbiyah to your children. But now you have challenges from multiple places, but two big places. One is peer pressure from other similar age children. But even more difficult than that, is from your own extended family members, maybe from your own parents sometimes, or from your brothers or sisters' family, or your cousins. That's the most difficult. I don't have any magic, unfortunately, right? Magic solution. However, some suggestions is, number one, speak to whoever this person is that, look, you know, we bring our children up in a certain way. We're not saying it's better than yours or whatever. We don't want to get into that. But we're just very particular about X, Y, and Z, about certain foods or about certain practices or watching certain programs, right? So if you could just, we really want them to play together, but if you can just observe that, just have a meeting in advance, just try to. Hopefully they will, sometimes they're very aggressive and they're not because they just think you're over the top or something like that. Then just, you'll have to just minimize or try to do it where you bring them over to your house instead of allow them to go. So you can control the situation. It's not easy. We don't have a perfect solution, especially if it's the grandparents are spoiling them. That's very, and then they get, you just do your best. But if they're living in the same house, you just have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for assistance, because you cheese your parents off and then they get, it's a very difficult one. But try all of these things. Have a conversation with them without making them feel that you're patronizing them or that you're thinking yourself better than them or whatever it is, because they take a big offense to that. Islamically, what's the position if you think that your cousins are going to be corruptive to your children? As I said, You can't cut ties. Try to get them to your house. Try to prep the children beforehand in a nice way. That look, we don't do, if you can preempt what the issues are and say, we don't do this kind of stuff. Try to solidify them and just hope the best from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I said, I don't think there's a perfect solution. I don't know if anybody else has a perfect solution to that, because we don't also agree with cutting ties. Yes, if there is 100% is going to be corruptive, 100%, then technically you're allowed to cut ties in the sense that you don't have to send your children over if you're asking the fiqhi ruling to it, right? But otherwise, you just do your best to try to maintain the relationship while also mitigating it to the best of your ability. I don't have a 100% answer, unfortunately, of making sure that it works. You have to work on them slowly, slowly. Inshallah, they'll come around as well. MashaAllah. So, question was that how do we instill in our children from a young age that we need to be constantly connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rather than just trying to get connected when you really need something, right? And the way to do that is basically just try to have them pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do some tasbihat or do some takbir or whatever on a regular basis, saying the benefit that this will keep you in contact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to give them a small regimen of dhikr that they can do something basic every day, right? Read some Quran every day or whatever, and just tell them the benefit of this is that it softens your heart, it connects you to Allah, Allah recognizes you, so inshallah when you need, then inshallah. This is one strategy. There'll probably be other strategies as well that you can use of just multiple things like that that can inshallah work. Ridda, yeah. So are there any signs that you should look in your children to see if they're going off, completely off track towards any change in their demeanor? As I said, if they're transparent, they'll start asking you questions, right? Oh, I don't get this, or why is it like that? So that's one thing. If the more difficult ones are those who don't say anything to you, because they don't think they can ask you, or they've got... So there's one girl, I'll give you two stories. One girl, she got started talking to somebody on Twitter at that time, personal chat. Another kid, Christian kid, who lost his faith, and he told her why he lost his faith, and she did the same thing afterwards and followed him in that regard. Right, the other one started studying Christianity for some reason. So her father said, "Can you please?" From up north, said, "Can you please speak to her?" So I started speaking to her, and the question she brought up, I responded. So then she says to me, "I can't give you a response because you're a very good speaker." Right? This is the first time I'm speaking to her, but with the answers I'm giving, she's saying, "I can't argue with you because you're you say things very well, but you should look at Christianity." She started giving me that one. Then I had to tell her parents. I said, look, I've seen bad cases, but this one's worse, because she's so into it now that she's giving me that one to Christianity. I asked her, like, didn't you see? He said, no. She's just a very quiet person. Right? She stays in a room a lot of the time and whatever. I think those are the telltale signs. I want to know who's their friends are. I want to know who they're talking to. So I want to know who they're speaking to online. I want to know that. That's what I would say. I know it sounds a bit like getting into the privacy and everything, but she's living under your roof. You have all the right to make sure and where to do the tarbiyah. To find out who they're talking to online is probably more important to find out, you know, who they're physically meeting. You see, once they've gone, then you can just leave a window open. You see, then it depends. I've had cases where they are now trying to corrupt their other brothers and sisters. If that's the case, then you might even have to separate them completely, right? If they're not doing that and they're just doing their own thing, you keep a window open, but you tell them how you completely, but I'm here for you to sort, and hopefully it's just a phase and they come back. We have to, however, I mean, this is opening a bigger issue. We have to find out why they've gone there. That's very, very important to find out why they've gone there. Sometimes it's because they're missing something at home and they've found, and they think it's Islam. So if we're overly, if parents are overly strict in the name of Islam, or if they're suffocating them, like, you better get married to your cousin, right? And you have to listen to your parents. You don't have to listen to your parents to be forcefully married to your cousin if you can't get along with it. But they think it's Islamic because the parents show all of this as an Islamic thing. There's no kindness that's shown. So they think that's Islam. They need to be shown love to show that Islam is not the extreme sickness. So how do we sort it out? Maybe it depends on what the issue is. It could be multiple issues. We have to maybe change our demeanor, maybe get somebody else to speak to them. So sometimes if our children don't speak to us, we need to find somebody there, maybe an auntie that they might speak to, maybe an older brother they might speak to, an older cousin they might, or let's find a friend of theirs who can speak to them. So at least we know what's going on. If we're suspicious and they don't tell us, these are just different options that you can do. But there's no easy solution to this. High achieving child, praying, doing well in school.
But is addicted to computer gaming.
Addicted to computer gaming.
And social media.
And social media.
As a result of this, given bad attitude.
Yeah, I don't have an answer to that. That's the tough, that is the $1 million question, as they say of today. How do you get somebody out of addiction? So one thing I would say, Ya Allah, as I said, you can try to have somebody, other people speak, because we're too suspicious for them. We are just bad people for them when it comes to gaming. Try to get somebody else more neutral to talk to them about how bad it is. And I guarantee you, that kid probably knows how bad it is in the back of their mind. They're just not willing to accept it. Sometimes it's just going to take time. But then we get them to listen to others. We get them to listen to other research on this. And then sometimes it just helps to say, okay, fine, you do it and you lose something. Let them get some failure. Then they'll realize. Hopefully it's just a phase. But I don't have a 100% answer for this, because there's just so many variables within this and it's very tough. Do any of the young guys have an answer to this who are addicted? Is anybody addicted here? Our young youth? I know. But inshallah, I think, you know, like for example, I'm talking about one kid. He's addicted in that sense. Alhamdulillah, the parents like finally said, look, do what you want. He had some failures in terms of his GCSEs or A-levels or something. And then after that, he started waking up. He is now telling his parents, look, if you see me in my room with my light on at night, then tell me to go to sleep. So the parents said, keep your door open. I'm not going to come into your room. Keep your door open so that we can see if your light is on, if you're on your computer now. Leave your iPad downstairs. Right? There was one kid, he goes to a school, a college, who pride themselves on being a paper-free school. So they give him all iPads. That's where he got his iPad from. And then he started performing badly because he's on it at night. So the children call out the parents saying, it's your fault. Give him paper homework. Why do you give him iPad for? Oh, we're a paper-free school. Thank you very much.
With the Rayyan Courses subscription, you'll gain immediate access to over 250 hours of exclusive video lessons taught by experienced scholars. Sign up now at rayyancourses.com to continue your journey. Your next lesson is waiting.